The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province.
Armed with the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht, we'll be travelling around the country to preview the 2026-2027 rugby season. Get your tickets while you still can at offtheball.com/events.
Waterford FC are through to the semi-finals of the FAI Cup with a convincing victory over Sligo Rovers here at the RC. It only took the Blues 5 minutes after the restart to pick up their second goal of the game. Heavy cross from Conan Noonan to the back post found Jürgen Voilas, who headed the ball back to Blues striker Tommy Lonergan, who struck a beautiful half-volley past Sam Sargent. Just 9 minutes later, Waterford would widen the gap even further. A piercing pass through the Sligo defence from Noah Moweni found midfielder Evan McLaughlin, whose cross took a slight hit off the bitter red defender Oliver Denham to just sneak the ball into the net at the back post. Waterford really started to get creative after that as a brilliant backheel from Benny Cove found McLaughlin just outside the box. Former Cork City player struck a brilliant long range effort that demanded a high save from Sargent in net. Sligo looked dejected from then on out, but the game grinding to a halt. The player's despair on the pitch was mirrored by the away end's lack of movement or noise. At full time, the home end erupted in song, booking their place in the semi-finals in October. But for Rovers fans, this brings an end to a campaign that was ultimately the only shining light for the Western outfit, as relegation from the men's Premier Division looks more and more likely with each week. Full-time score here at the RC, Waterford FC 3, Sligo Rovers 0.
Graham Coughlin, 3-0 at the RC, a cagey first half, but a really dominant second half.
I wouldn't say cagey first half. I thought Sligo was very good. I thought they set up really well. They were comfortable with the ball. They dropped they had two strikers. They dropped one down into the 10, and that causes a little bit of problems with the overloads. A little bit like the top teams do in the division. So hats off to Percy. Hats off to Darren. He was tactically astute. Done very, very well there, and causes a number of issues. Probably fortunate to go in 1-0 up by half time. I thought Sligo were the better team in the first half. But we tweaked things. We had a few words at half time. We made a couple of adjustments. And I think in the second half, we probably came out on top, not only on the scoreline, but performance wise, quality wise, and possession wise. I thought we were excellent in the second half.
I think if you look at, I suppose, one of the players I maybe focaled out a little bit was Tommy Lonergan in the second half. Maybe it looked in the first half that maybe there was a couple of balls that he could have gotten onto that maybe he wasn't maybe getting to. And then the second half, he comes out like he's chasing down everything, even when you're 3-0 up. Like, did you say something to him particularly at half time to kind of get him into that mindset?
No, you know, people would be surprised actually. We speak at half time, have a few words, but when you walk into the change room at half time, the lads are organising themselves, the lads are at each other, the lads are grabbing each other, and the lads are fighting with each other and demanding from each other. So they're actually in control of the half time team talk. We come in, we offer them a little bit of advice, we offer them a bit of guidance, we tweaked the system a little bit, we made one or two adjustments, and they responded. But these lads have set standards, and they drive the standards, they drive the environment, they drive the culture. And they know themselves that they didn't quite live up to, I would say, expectation. I would say they haven't quite lived up to the standards that they've set in the first half. And they'd be as disappointed as anybody. So, look, they sort an awful lot of things out themselves. And that's what I like about the group. They problem solve on the spot. They knew we didn't play particularly well in the first half, but they hung in there. And not only hung in there, they come in 1-0 up at half time. So that's not a bad trait to have. We keep talking about character. We keep talking about resilience. And this group have it in abundance. And they showed it again in the first half tonight. We didn't play particularly well, but we came in 1-0 up.
I think particular mention on the other end of the pitch has to be for Stephen McMullen, who performed brilliantly today. I think that first half save against Pearce, when he's kind of clean through, like, if that goes in, it's a completely different game, and you probably need to look at McMullen as being a standout performer, don't you?
Yeah, look, Stevie's been brilliant. But again, we'll go back to the first half, the slackness, the sloppiness. One of our players has played a square pass, and that's not us. We don't play square balls on the edge of our own box. Plays a square ball and sets in the Sligo number 10. So that can't happen, and that shouldn't happen. So that'll tell you how far off we were in the first half, which is disappointing. But like I say, they we weathered the storm. We got through a little slice of luck, if you wish, or good goalkeeping, whatever way you want to look at it. But Stevie's kept him out. Stevie's kept us in the game in the first half, and the lads have come out then in the second half and overrun them. And I thought they were excellent in the second half, not so good in the first, but we're in the hat, like we say, 3-0, clean sheet, in the hat, and that was our objective before kickoff.
Noah Moweni is kind of a player that I feel like has really come into his own on the pitch, especially in the last few games, and he probably almost embodies that work ethic that you've been kind of instilling in these players of constantly chasing down the ball, high intensity, high press. And like, and today I just thought he was nearly everywhere on the pitch, and he even got a brilliant pass into Evan for that third goal.
yeah, Noah's been brilliant. Noah's been brilliant since he's come in. Look, he'll know. I'll always be on his case. I'll always be pushing. I'll always be driving. I'll always want more. Noah will know that. And I'll, as do the rest of the lads. I'd love to see him on the ball more often. I'd love to see him demanding it, receiving on the back foot and switching play, because he has that in his locker. Sorry. But yeah, he's growing into this club. He's growing into this dressing room. He's becoming a real influence. But you got to remember where Noah has been. He hasn't done a pre-season. He's not at the same level as yet of where the rest of the lads are. Noah's only really been going since July, really, July and August. So he's only really had 6, 7, 8 weeks of fitness, of work, where his air lads have been going since last December, last January. So he's still a little bit of work to do. He's still a little bit of catching up to do, purely and simply because of where he's come from. The timetable in England is totally different to the timetable in Ireland. So we have to get him up to speed. But yeah, you're quite right. He was outstanding again today, and he is growing game by game, week by week. He's been a real, real influence in the middle of the park.
Well, if that's him only at half capacity, I can't wait to see him when he's at full strength. How much can you celebrate tonight, knowing that there's obviously a couple of games down the line now, particularly of importance at home here in the RSC?
Look, there's no celebrating. I don't think you celebrate. We're into a semi-final. I'm not one for doing cartwheels. We've achieved nothing. We've done nothing. We've got a long way to go in the league. We've got another game to go before we can start talking about anything really in the cup. So look, you know football, and we all know football. Football can jump up and slap you in the face as soon as you think you've cracked it, as soon as you think you've made it. So, look, we'll enjoy tonight. As I keep saying, in football, you don't really enjoy the wins, the victories. You don't celebrate them because you're always planning and organising. We're planning and organising in the office at the minute for a training session in the morning. So we don't really get that time to enjoy it and to plan, to enjoy. So we'll enjoy at the end of the season if we can achieve. And that's probably it in a nutshell, really. You have to achieve in football before you can enjoy and celebrate.
Absolutely. Graham Coughlin, thank you so much and congratulations this evening.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Darren Purse, a difficult result here, particularly after what could have been a very different first half.
It could have been a very different first half. The difference between the two sides tonight, especially that from the first half, was they took their opportunities when they got it. Their box and our box were two different, you know, it's totally different. We created some real good opportunities that I thought the boys played some great football to get there. They were. They probably dominated the whole of the first half. And you're walking 1-0 down, you know. So for me, that's the disappointing thing. When you are on top, you have to punish teams, and we didn't do that today.
How much do you look at, obviously, I think the opening 8 minutes in particular, like you're so dominant, particularly with crossing into the box and getting opportunities like that, and then Waterford opened the score and almost against the run of play, and you look at Luke's chance near kind of midway through that first half that just gets smothered by Stephen McMullen. Like, does it feel like maybe everything's going against you?
It always does, you know, but I'm a big believer in the harder you work, the better opportunities you get, you know. So there's no point in moping about and crying about. We have to roll our sleeves up and get on with it, you know. Should we have walked in winning the game in the first half for the way we played? 100%, but we didn't, you know, because we didn't take our chance in the first half, and we allowed them to score from one long ball into our box. So that's just where we're at. We're making poor decisions. We've got a little bit of a naivety about us, and that needs to change. The boys have got to show us that they deserve to stay in this division, and obviously that's where the next seven games are going to lead.
It's obviously, I suppose, difficult as well, and you go in at 1-0 down at half time and you come out and 5 minutes later you find yourselves 2 down. How frustrating was that for you, I suppose, on the sidelines, knowing that you were trying to drill in as much as you could during that interval?
I was more frustrated with the second goal than I was for the first one, you know, for the first half, because just we're not organisers. We haven't got organisers in the group. We haven't got people that are sort of leaders to get people organised. People screening in front from the throw-in and little bits and pieces like that, you know. That's just where we are at this moment in time. Is that going to change overnight? I don't think so. It's something you have to learn over time, you know, and people have to grasp over time. If we could play like that next week, it will give ourselves a great opportunity. But we cannot give the chances that we give away like tonight, because Drogheda will punish us the same as Waterford punished us today, you know. So it's going to be a steep learning curve. There's going to be a lot of work that's got to go on the training pitch over these next few days leading into next Friday and next Monday. And we'll see where we are. But if we can perform like we did, especially the first half today, we'll give ourselves a right chance, and we'll know by Monday night whether or not we've got a chance to stand in the division or not.
Defensively, it's been a bit of an odd one since you've come in. I think particularly back at that Waterford game, it looked like Sligo had been playing the best defensively they had in the last few months, in particular at least. But, you know, tonight maybe you mentioned that there was kind of a bit of sloppiness in that area. Like, how do you suppose iron that out a little bit more, especially with Drogheda next week?
It's not sloppiness, it's an organisation thing. You know, it's a communication, it's about getting organised, especially from dead balls. You know, if a team carve you open from a great little bit of play, there's not a lot you can do, but from dead balls, we should be organised. Mm. You know, so from that point of view, it's something that disappoints me. It's stuff that we have worked on as a group and as a team. And the players need to, I don't say take a bit of responsibility. They know what they need to do, and they need to do it every second of every game, of every minute of every game, until we do it. And did I think we'd sort of crossed the line with the two clean sheets that we had? Probably. Mm-hmm. But in the last two games have probably opened us up again to say that we're not where we need to be, and there's still a lot of hard work that needs to be done.
When you talk about, obviously, lack of conversation, I mean, it's no secret, obviously, that there's injury troubles with Sligo. Like, is that, I suppose, the chopping and changing of players coming in and out, does that, I suppose, not help in that sense a little bit?
Well, of course, you know, I think you look at the shape we played and the personnel we played today. I thought it worked really well first half. The boys really grasped what we wanted to do in possession of the ball. But it's the other side, out of possession, when we're not dropping on second balls, we're not all getting organised from dead balls and little bits like that's costing us, you know, a little bit of a naivety. And that needs to, the boys need to grow. We are still very young. You look at that as a back four with Sean Stewart, obviously Gareth McElroy and Ollie Denham, probably average age of 21. You look at Waterford's average age of their back three or their back four, it's totally different. You know, they've got organisers in there, they've got experience, you know, so they need to grow fast. Gareth McElroy is going to be an exceptional footballer, you know, he's a real leader, and he's learning on the job at this moment in time, and the same as with the other two. But did I think we'd cross the line when we'd kept the clean sheets? Yeah, but it's still a lot of work to be done.
You mentioned earlier, obviously, if you played the way you did in the first half against Drogheda, that there'd be a very good chance of coming away with something that game. Like, it is very much a really important tie coming into the end this season now, isn't it?
Really important. Not it is a vital game. We need to win that game. Simple. Drogheda, they don't need to beat us. You know, they could walk away with a draw and still be 5 points clear of us. No, we have to go and win that game. Next weekend's going to be huge for us. I look at the games and they are games that we can go and win. I think we can go to Drogheda. I know we can go to Drogheda and win. I know we can beat Galway at home. Our home form is really good at this moment in time, especially since I've been at the football club, you know, and I hope to continue that. But it comes off the back of hopefully winning against Drogheda on Friday night.
How do you take the feeling from a loss like this tonight and kind of bottle that up, especially with a younger squad, and kind of push them on to kind of come out all guns blazing next week?
Well, that you have to question them, but you also have to learn. You have to give them the answers as well sometimes. It's different with more experienced players. They tend to know what's gone wrong. Mm. They tend to know how they can deal with it. The younger players don't. You have to tell them sometimes. And listen, we've had a chat in there. We'll do some analysis and have a look at the game from today, and we'll go into that next week, and hopefully we can learn fast and put the right or the wrongs from tonight.
Absolutely. Darren Pearce, thank you so much. Congratulations tonight.
No worries.
John, a nil-all draw felt a very cagey game for a lot of that. What was your assessment immediately after full-time?
Disappointment that we didn't come away with the win. Felt second half, we really showed our dominance. You know, made a couple of tweaks at half-time, obviously made two changes, but felt our build-up was a bit slow and distances were off. Second half was much better. Felt we created some good opportunities. The set play that Owen Casey gets the header, and I think the scramble on the goal line, and McGinty makes a good save. But we looked a threat throughout the game. Obviously, Shamrock Rovers on the turnovers, they had a couple of opportunities, but defensive display from Owen Casey, Cameron Edwidge, James Norris, Milan came in second half. I thought they were superb, and it's important for us to keep a clean sheet tonight. We created good opportunities, we just didn't get that finishing touch, but a lot of positives.
I was on commentary of Vinnie Perth tonight, and the one thing he said consistently throughout the game was talking about Owen Casey and how much Aberdeen have missed him throughout the season. It certainly felt that way for a lot of the 90 minutes.
Yeah, he was superb. I said it to him at half time. He was a man mountain. He was shepherding the ball out of play. He was aggressive winning his first contacts. and his build up as well, but that was the tweak at half time. We were too narrow. We needed to get Cam wider, we needed to get Milan into the game and use his pace and power to drive forward. But yeah, it's important for those guys to keep a clean sheet, and for Eddie, we brought him into the club, and he's been really good and made some unbelievable saves. But to win matches, you have to keep clean sheets, and we did that tonight.
Meepo as well comes off the bench and kind of gives you a bit of a different look when you're going forward. Again, another one that you've kind of missed. I know you've obviously missed him, and then managers forward missed him as well throughout the whole season. It changes the way you attack completely.
Yeah, he's such a threat, pulling off the shoulder, even late on, like the last few minutes, he breaks down that left channel, and it puts fear into defences. So it's great to have him back on the pitch. We've managed him really well. Fairness to the medical staff at Mark Cornish, like they've built him up nicely, and it's important for us to keep doing that now. We've 8 games to go, but we need to get him on the pitch and influencing the game.
How important was that for you, both the clean sheet and then to come away from the Champions and pick up a result? Like, I think you yourself would admit it hasn't been the start you would have wanted here.
Yeah, we haven't got the wins, but I look at the performances the last couple of games. Ajax at home, it's a draw, but we played really well. Unlucky probably not to win the game that night against a top-class opposition. And then even last week, we've had a training block going into the Galway game where we're 1-0 up. We've totally dominated the second half, and we get done with a sucker punch late on, and that was a blow to the players. But then the reaction to come up here to tell against a top-class opposition and keep a clean sheet, create good opportunities, we're on the right path. We've got players coming back from injury, which probably missed when I first came in. Like, we had a lot of young players the first couple of matches. So, we're on the right path, and lots of positives.
Another is positives and all the new contracts that were signed over the last couple of weeks, and obviously Mark coming in the door. It would be remiss of me not to ask about Paddy Barrett. I know you were asked about him yesterday.
Yeah.
Later on yesterday, he put some tweets out about his time at the club as well. Is there any more insight you can kind of give us on the situation? Because I think everyone feels a little bit in the dark.
Yeah, no, there's no more information really than what I said yesterday. Like, he didn't select him for the squad tonight. We've obviously come up. You mentioned Oran Casey there. He's missed a large chunk of the season, and I've real belief in Oran. Cam's obviously signed a new contract. Obviously, Milan's come in and done really well in the second half, so I look at the players that we have tonight and top class performance. We need to keep doing that now. We've got 8 games to go, got as many points as we can, because we want to chase the teams ahead of us.
Is the door still open for Paddy to come back? Because those tweets last night felt like, didn't almost feel like the end of the line, but they felt fairly definitive.
And look, there's going to be noise and talk outside of our group, but I said my focus is on the players that are here tonight and performing for Shelburne. We want to win matches. We haven't won enough this season, but I believe in the group we have in the dressing room.
So the door is open for him to come back.
Well, for me, it's about the group tonight. I said, next game, we've got Friday, Monday, opportunity to get 6 points on the board. Really happy what I saw tonight, and yeah, we'll move into the next games.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Join some of the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht as we travel round the country to preview the 2026-27 rugby season. Don't miss your chance to be there. Get your tickets now at offtheball.com/events.